Chapter 9. The guys were pumped when they arrived at the arena on the 27th. "Our first tourney on the stuff," announced Neil. "We're going all the way." "We were up against a team from Medicine Hat called the Hurricanes." "I don't know much about them," admitted Knowles when he arrived, "except they're a brand new team this year. I've never seen them play, so you'll just have to go out there and play good, solid hockey. Within the first few minutes, you'll know who their ringers are." He looked around the dressing room. "Play your man, all of you, and we'll know more by the end of the first period." He stood up. "You've all had a good long break, and I expect you to skate hard." "Is this team seated?" asked Theo. "No," said Coach Knowles, "but don't underestimate them either." "Are we seated?" asked Justin. Knowles nodded. "Number 2, right behind the Cadillacs." The guys groaned. "Guess who will be meeting in the finals?" "Never mind the finals," advised Knowles from the doorway. "We've got to get there first." Someone banged on the door a few minutes later, and we filed out in our traditional order, Jordy first and Ryan last. I was talking over my shoulder at Ryan as I reached the gate and banged smack into Justin, who had stopped halfway through the gate. The whole team was sort of held up beside the gate, gawking at the Hurricanes. Ryan let out a low whistle. They were huge, taller and heavier than all of us, except maybe Red and Neil. "Where did these guys come from?" asked Adrian.
"Another planet, if they're our age," answered Pete.
"They're not so big," said Neil, trying to be optimistic. "Come on." He skated off towards our goal, where Jordy was stretching out. Ryan gave me a little shove, and we strode out onto the ice. I glanced sideways as I skated past. They had a couple of real monsters on their team. I wasn't keen to take a check from one of those guys. I threw myself into the warm-up and tried not to worry. "I know they're a little on the large side," acknowledged Knowles as we huddled by the bench just minutes before the whistle blew. "But size isn't everything. Just go out there and play the caliber of hockey you guys have played all season." Justin, Ryan, and I were out first. I glanced up at the Hurricanes winger who had squared off opposite to me. Reynolds, his jersey said. He must have been a full head taller than me and outweighed me by 15 kilograms. I hunched over my stick and tried to focus. The opposing center wasn't so much bigger than Ryan, but the two defensemen were incredibly tall and gangly. According to their jerseys, they were brothers, the Maniwones. What a name. The whistle blew, the referee dropped the puck, and the game was on. Except our game wasn't on. Every time the Hurricanes got near us, we pulled up and gave them room to skate. Caught in the neutral zone, I watched Reynolds drive to the slot. Adrian was out front, and normally he was hard to move, but today my man just stepped around him. Jordy stopped the first shot, but Reynolds tucked the rebound in behind Jordy. 1-0 Hurricanes. Less than a minute had elapsed. We skated dejectedly to the bench, and Noel sent out the next line. "Hey, they're not giants, just 15-year-olds," he reminded us. Ryan flunked down on the bench beside me. "Never mind," he said. "We'll get it back." But we struggled all period, unable to get over the mental block. The guys refused to go into the corners with them, preferring to surrender the puck. Ryan threw a few good hits, but the Hurricanes controlled the game. Knowles was frustrated and angry by the time we got to the dressing room, down by 3 goals. "What's with you guys? You're all running in the opposite direction every time they get near you. Except for the odd exception," he glanced at Ryan. "You've psyched yourselves out before you even stepped on the ice." We hung our heads. It was true. Only Ryan didn't seem fazed by their size. Still, it wasn't easy trying to overcome that mental block. Noel softened his tone a little bit. He'd never been a screamer. "All you have to do is go out there and throw a few hard checks right off the mark. Let them know you're not afraid of them. Right now, you're running like scared rabbits every time a black jersey gets close." There was a knock on the door, and Justin went to see. "Coach Knowles, it's for you," he called. "Says it's important." Knowles went to the door and then stuck his head back inside. "I've got to go for a few minutes. Think about it, will you guys?" The dressing room was silent for a few minutes. "Knowles is right," said Pete finally. "We have to go out there and check first thing." "If we do that, we'll definitely have the element of surprise working in our favor," added Neil. A few of the guys laughed. "It's either that or wave the white flag in the first game," said Carl. "Not while we have the stuff," whispered James. I cringed and sank back against the wall. "Exactly," said Pete. "That's something we've got that they don't," added Scott. Ryan jumped to his feet. He looked like he was about to explode, but he didn't. Instead, he just stared at everyone. The room went silent. When he did speak, his voice was low and even. "The Falcons don't lie down and surrender, stuff or no stuff," he said. I watched him with interest, fighting the guilty feelings that overwhelmed me. The door opened and closed. What difference does it make if a guy's got 15 centimeters or 10 kilos on you. Does that mean you can't outskate him? Does that mean you can't flatten him against the boards? Does that mean you can't outmaneuver him? At center ice, all eyes were on Ryan, who stood in the middle of the room whispering. How big a guy is on the ice doesn't have anything to do with his size. That's right, said a voice from the doorway. We looked to see Coach Knowles and another man standing beside him. It was the other man that had spoken, and he looked familiar. Ryan sat down as Coach Knowles moved into the room. I think you all know Phil Kiefler, he said, introducing the man beside him who now stepped into the light of the room. Phil smiled at us, and a general awe of silence went through the guys. Not many of us had stood in the same room as one of the real greats. He's right, you know, Phil said, gesturing at Ryan. I've skated circles around guys twice my size and sent players that towered over me to the ice with good solid checks. He grinned. In fact, if you get down low enough, you can knock their center of gravity out real fast. I studied Phil Kiefler. He really wasn't particularly big or heavy, although I imagined he'd probably been heavier when he was playing. Still, even now, he was solid. He looked around at our faces. Coach Knowles told me you guys would give us a good game at the skating showcase. I'd like to think so. He paused, rubbed his chin, and pointed at Ryan. Listen to that, lad. Coach Knowles, or myself, we couldn't say it better. He winked at us, smiled, and left the dressing room beside Coach Knowles. The room buzzed. What was Phil Kiefler doing here today? Were there scouts in the arena? How did he know Coach Knowles so well? The guys were still speculating when someone knocked on the door to let us know we were due on the ice. I filed out in front of Ryan. He had that faraway look in his eyes again. And why not? Phil Kiefler had just paid him a compliment, a big compliment. I nudged him in the ribs with my elbow. You still with us? He grinned that trademark Davis grin that I hadn't seen for quite a while. You bet, he said, reaching the gate. Someone hollered his name, and we looked up to see Mr. Davis, Dad, and Angie sitting together. We waved. You bet, Ryan said again, stepping out onto the ice. It was perhaps, Dad had said later, the greatest transformation he had ever seen between periods. We threw 7 clean, hard checks in the first 2 minutes, and the Hurricanes must have thought they were playing a different team. By the halfway point of the second period, we'd scored twice, and it was the Hurricanes that were backing off in the corner. Our cheering section was loud in disbelief and delight. The dressing room buzzed between periods, and we skated circles around them in the third period. Red got a lucky screen goal, and then Theo did some fabulous stick handling and found the 5-hole. We were up by a goal, 4-3, and dominating every aspect of play. Knowles was after us to slow it down a little, save our legs for the rest of the tournament. Most of us did just that, but not Ryan. Maybe it was because he thought the scouts might be there, or maybe it was having his dad there. Whatever the reason, he was flying. I think he could have beat the Hurricanes single-handedly in the last few minutes of play, but we went out anyway to keep him company. He nailed one more high into the corner just seconds before the end of the game, and the crowds rose and applauded. I don't think he noticed, though, and when the buzzer went, he looked disappointed. We shook hands with the rather shaken Hurricanes team and skated off to the dressing room. There was a lot of backslapping and self-congratulating. We never had such an incredible comeback before. And, of course, we couldn't believe Ryan's performance. Coach Knowles ordered us all to go home and get a good rest before tomorrow's games. Ryan said little through it all, only that he had to hurry because they were going up to the hospital to see his mom. He was one of the first to leave the dressing room, but he was still standing in the lobby with his father and Phil Kiefler when I came out 10 minutes later. I caught up with him as they parted. Phone me, I whispered in his ear. So what did he say? I asked, almost clamoring through the phone when he called later that night. Who? Phil Kiefler. Who else? Ryan was trying to be nonchalant, but I could tell he was excited. Oh, he was just talking to Dad, mostly. I guess he came to the game with a couple of kids. He's one of those big brothers to kids who don't have fathers. They live nearby here and knew that our tourney was on, so he brought them. And he stayed for the whole game? Yeah, it turns out that he played junior hockey with Coach Knowles. Says Knowles used to be a pretty good player in his day, but he hurt his back one season and that kind of knocked him out of the running for the big leagues. I never knew that. I hadn't known either. Coach Knowles had never said much about his past. Did he say anything about the team or the old-timers game? Just that we'd made a remarkable comeback and that he was looking forward to a good game in February. Didn't he say anything about how you play today? You were really flying, Rye. Not really. He said that I should have gone for the stick side on that goal I missed in the third period, though. I chuckled. Well, I thought you had an awesome game. Thanks, said Ryan. So did my dad.
I smiled. There was no doubt about it. Ryan was just a cut above the rest of us. I marveled at his composure, his ability to take it all in a stride. Christmas, his mom, everything. At the same time, I couldn't forget the feeling of guilt that had come over me in the dressing room today. I'd given the guys an extra big batch of stuff at the last meeting, enough to get them through the tournament, but for the first time, I really wished I hadn't. What was it Dad had said about over-the-counter drugs? The limp body of Mrs. Davis flashed before my eyes. I went downstairs. Angie was sitting reading a novel in front of the Christmas tree. Dad and Lise were watching television in the other room. I thought you were going to bed early, said Angie. I sat down, determined to find out what I could from her. What's your favorite subject at university? She looked up in surprise. Probably biology. Why? Luck was with me. Is that where you learned all about the dangers of these over-the-counter drugs? I asked. She scrutinized me closely. Why? Are they really that dangerous, all those painkillers and antihistamines and stuff? She closed her book. Yes and no. If they're taken like they should be, and you're not allergic or sensitive, then they're really no problem. But if you take too much of something, like Mrs. Davis did, then it can be a big problem. So it's only if you take a whole bunch at once that it's dangerous? Either that, or take something over an extended period. Some drugs aren't intended for continuous use. I tried not to look anxious. What happens if you do? It depends on what type of drug it is. There can be all kinds of side effects, serious ones sometimes. She stared hard at me. Why, Joel? Is there something wrong? I debated telling her the truth, but something stopped me. I guess I knew how disappointed she'd be in me. Never mind the fact that the team thought she was my supplier. Just curious, I said, forcing a smile to my lips. I think I'll get a snack. She grinned. Every time I see you, you eat more than I thought you did. Lying in bed that night, I thought about what Lise had said about New Year's resolution. Our win tonight and the previous one had proven to me that the effect of the stuff was all psychological. I hadn't taken it for some time now, and I'd played consistently well. And I wasn't sure how much longer I could live with my guilt. Not after seeing Ryan's mom and talking to Angie. I'd just have to tell the guys my supply had dried up. I'd wean them off slowly until they realized that it was all psychological. Lise was right. I would make a New Year's resolution. One with a deadline attached just as soon as the tournament was over. We won our two games the next day with ease and watched it as the organizers wrote Falcons in big felt letters in the semi-final square. The Cadillacs had had an easy time coming down from the top, but both of us faced tough teams in the next round. The Cadillacs were slated to take on the Icemen, who were always contenders, and we were up against an Edmonton team called the Hawks, who'd really made it to the quarterfinals last year. Ready for the Battle of the Birds? Joked Neil. We'll see who's flying that day. We had one day off in between, and I was feeling like I needed it. My legs were tired and my body bruised, having taken a few too many hard checks. I spent the morning lazing around the house and then decided to take Jasper for a walk in the afternoon. The sun was shining and the snow was already melting as I headed in the direction of Ryan's house. A Chinook was blowing in. Mr. Davis and Ryan pulled up just as I arrived, but neither of them looked very happy. Jasper made a beeline for Ryan and pulled him down into a snowdrift. Normally, Ryan would have wrestled with him, but this time he just put his arms around Jasper and held him. For a moment, I wanted to turn around and leave, but I took a deep breath and joined them. Hi there, I said, looking from Mr. Davis to Ryan and back to Mr. Davis again. Hello, Joel, said Mr. Davis's tired voice. Ryan was still sitting in the snow with Jasper. We've just come from the hospital, he explained. We had a meeting with the assessment people there. His face looked pale and aged as he turned and headed towards the house. I glanced at Ryan, who was giving Jasper a belly rub. Rough day? I asked. He jumped to his feet. Want to take Jasper to the river? The river was a long way, but it was warm out, and I figured Ryan needed it more than Jasper. Sure, I said. We fell into step together, saying nothing. I waited for a while and then tried again. How did it go at the hospital? But Ryan didn't answer. Instead, he bent down, molded a snowball, and threw it for Jasper. Jasper wasn't bad at fetching, but finding snowballs in the snow was a bit tricky. He raced back and forth, bewildered, until Ryan threw one into a shovel driveway. But every time he tried to pick it up, it fell apart or melted in his mouth. Never mind, boy, I said, laughing. You're not supposed to be able to retrieve snowballs. Ryan gave Jasper a pat, too. He seemed more relaxed, and I thought about asking about the meeting with the doctors, but decided not to. He'd tell me in his own time. It wasn't until we were on our way home, having discussed hockey and more hockey, that Ryan finally opened up. We went to talk to the doctors about Mom today. I caught my breath and waited. It was easier when you talked about things, easier in the long run, that was. And I prompted, "They're not very optimistic this time, Joel." His voice choked up. "When she's well enough physically, they want to put her in a long-term care home." I tried to take this information in. "Until she's better?" "Yeah, so they say. I guess there's always a slim chance that something will happen and she'll get better. It happens sometimes for no real reason." He fired another snowball up, but the truth is that most people don't get better once they go into those homes. "What does your dad think?" Ryan sighed. "He's agreed to it." He hurled another snowball high into the air. "I can't believe he's going to let them do that to Mom." I tried to imagine what it would be like to have my mother, or even Lee's, put in a home. There were times when I thought Lee's belonged in one, but that wasn't the same thing. "I guess Dad will have to pack up all her stuff and go talk to the staff at this nursing home place. They'll give her a private room if they can, but it sounds like there's a waiting list, so she'll probably have to share for a while." He patted Jasper matter-of-factly. "I hope she doesn't end up with some real weirdo, but then again, they might think she's a real weirdo." I looked hard at Ryan, an emotionless, empty Ryan, and wished like hell that I could do something to make a difference.